word will give you wisdom for tomorrow. Today, His word will give you hope so you can face another day. His word will give you strength to know He's sovereign in His ways. His word will give you joy. His word will grow your faith. Consider His word.
From the heart of the Florida Everglades, this is the Consider His Word radio program. Today we want to encourage you to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible. I'm Pastor Arlen Payne, inviting you to join us as we open the Scripture together and consider His Word.
Consider His Word.
Join us as we continue our study with Jesus in the Upper Room. Today we pick up in John chapter 14. We've been with Jesus in the Upper Room as He has met together with His disciples, and we're continuing this study and will continue for several weeks. If you'd like to go back and hear the beginning of this study, you can go find the previous broadcasts at www.considerhisword.org. I want to come back to that in a minute. We're in John chapter 14. John has been recording for us these words. Now, only John recorded these words for us. You will not find them in Matthew, Mark, Luke. You know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they go into more detail about the mechanics of the supper, about how Jesus established the Lord's Supper. They record about Jesus taking the towel and washing the disciples' feet, but they don't have the words that John gives us because, you see, John was there. He was one of the disciples present when Jesus was saying these things to them. They're having a conversation. Jesus has been trying to explain to them about He must go away. These poor disciples aren't understanding it at all. And in fact, you know, a lot of these things Jesus is saying is difficult to understand. It's important that you know that when Jesus was saying these things, He was saying them to His people. He was not saying these things to people that did not know Him. And so these words are for saved people. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you to Him today that you would know Him. In the first part of this book, in John chapter 1, the Bible says that Jesus came to His own, and His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God. You can become a child of God simply by receiving Christ as your Savior by faith. Knowing Him and asking Him into your life, following Him. In Romans, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In verse 13, He goes on to say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to ask you this. Are you trusting Christ? Do you believe Him? Believing in your heart, not just a head assent, but a knowledge in your heart that you've trusted Him. Have you called on Him to be your Savior? You can do that today. You can do that right now. And you see, these words are for you that have received Christ as your Savior. Jesus has had some great words. And in fact, in John chapter 14, it's quoted often, where Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may you be also. And so we have the promise of a mansion in heaven, however you want to describe that. He speaks about in my Father's house, and that one day we would be there with Him. He says, where I am, that's where you'll be. And then He also gave us the promise of a way. He said that no man comes to the Father but by me. Now, in that passage is also the promise of His coming again. He said, I will come and receive you unto myself. And so we have the promise of the second coming. So ripe with promises. And they're great to study. But I don't want to get too off track from that. Now, I really want us to concentrate on the questions that the disciples had brought up. and what Jesus was saying to them. And these are very interesting things that Jesus said, and they're not especially easy to understand, but I hope in this Bible study you'll at least get some sense of what Jesus was saying to his disciples there. You know, he speaks a lot of the Father, and we see here a lot of the truth about the relationship between the Son and the Father. The Bible teaches the Holy Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And in John chapter 14, all three of them are introduced to us, and we see something about all three of them. Jesus speaks much about his Father. Later in this chapter, and Lord willing, in the next week or two, we'll talk more about the Spirit of God and what Jesus said about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to notice these things, some things that he said about himself. He said that the Son was worthy of our faith. Now, this all goes back to when Jesus had said, I'm going away and you can't come. And Peter saying, Lord, why can't we come? And that's when Peter made that commitment, I'll lay down my life for your sake. And Jesus predicted that before the sun would rise, before that rooster crowed, that Peter would deny him three times. And Jesus, I think, in trying to comfort them and encourage them, said, let not your heart be troubled. It's interesting that Jesus would say that when just a few verses before, the Bible says that Jesus was troubled in his own spirit. You realize that as Jesus was speaking to his disciples, that he knew what was in their heart. He knew their confusion. He knew their doubts. And Jesus is trying to help them. And he said, don't be so troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe God, believe me also. You see, we can have confidence in Christ, that he is worthy of our faith. And I want you to notice that he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Here is the answer. When they said, where you're going, where are you going? He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. The promise of heaven. And he said, you can depend on that promise. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare you a place. Oh, what a place. Do you have the promise of that place in yourself? He said, in my Father's house, I'm going to prepare a mansion for you. And oh, I know many translations and people said, well, you know, it doesn't really mean mansion. It means a dwelling place. Well, I got news for you. If it's in heaven, if it's in the Father's house, it's going to be a mansion. It's going to be incredible. I think it's more than we can even imagine. We can kind of get an idea of what a mansion is, but we really don't know what our heavenly mansion will be like. And in the Son, Jesus also said that I will come again. Notice how many things he said that I would do. I'm preparing a mansion. I'm coming back. I will come back again. He's trying to comfort them. You know, in many ways, it's like when a parent comforts a child, and maybe parents have left their children with a babysitter or with somebody, and they'll say, it'll be all right. I'll be back. I'll be home in a little while. And they try to comfort them by their return, and Jesus is doing that here. He said, I'm coming back. I'll be coming back again. Don't be so troubled. And he reassured them when Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going and how can we know the way? He reassured them by saying, I'm the way. I'm the truth and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And now notice how much Jesus is speaking of the Father. He spoke of the Father's house and he's saying that he's going to the Father. And he's saying that there's only one way. And Jesus then said to them, he said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Now here we have some of the mysterious teachings of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I believe the Bible teaches the Trinity, the deity of Christ, very clearly. I'm not saying we can totally understand it, but because we don't completely comprehend it or understand it, doesn't mean that we dismiss this as being untrue. It's not reason to dismiss the truth Our lack of understanding, you see, we accept it by faith. Jesus said it, and we believe it. I tell you, the disciples didn't understand it either. They were completely confused. He said, to see Jesus is to see the Father. And so Philip, he really, right away, he answers. Now, Philip has a question. He said, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Or show us the Father, and that's good enough. In my mind, I can see Jesus shaking his head. And he said, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Now sayest thou then, show us the Father. He says, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Don't you believe that I am the Father? They don't understand. How can you even ask such a question? Don't you believe me? Remember what he said back in verse 1? You believe in God, believe also in me. He goes on and he explains further. He says, believest not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. You see, it was a matter of faith. Notice how times he said, believe me, believe me. You believe in God, back in verse 1, believe also in me. And he said, believe my words. The things that I've said, they're not my words, they're the Father's words. The things that I speak, I've spoken from the Father. Back in John chapter 12, toward the end of the chapter, he said, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. Whatever Jesus said, it was according to the will of the Father, of God. And he said, you believe me? He said, believe the words that I say. But if it's not just the words, then believe the works that I've done. Believe the works that you've seen. Believe me, the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verse 12, he said, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And he gave him a promise. He said, and whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What a great promise. And he said, believe me for the works. They had seen the works. They had seen Jesus make blind people see. They had seen Jesus make lame people walk. They had seen Jesus take diseased people and heal them. They had seen Jesus cast out demons. They had seen the works. So he's saying, believe me, not only what I say, but look at what I've done. I couldn't have done this without the Father. And he gave him the promise. He said, whatever you ask in my name, he said, that will I do it. A promise as we pray in Jesus' name. And it doesn't just mean that we end the prayer in Jesus' name, though we often do that. It means that when we approach the Father, that we come in Jesus. We come in his name. Our position is in Christ. And he says, I will do it. You see, in that prayer, God will be glorified. All that we would pray and come to Jesus in his name. I'm afraid our time is gone for today. God bless you as you consider his word.
Consider his word.